Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made. It may not feel like it, and it is. And these are the times in which God has decided we will live. And other generations have faced impending tyranny, and in my judgment, it's what we're facing from their Commissar Kamala and Joe Biden's dementia. I think it's self-evident. The Washington Post slipped into the local version. It's the local and legal section of the Washington Post website. They admit that the D.C. riots were planned weeks in advance. Self-styled militia members from Virginia, Ohio, and other states made plans to storm the U.S. Capitol days in advance. Now, if the Washington Post is to be believed in this, and the intelligence services are to be believed in this, and the sad thing is we have no reason to believe the Washington Post, nor do we have any reason to believe the intelligence services. We must judge on our own from source material and what we saw. I saw something organized. I didn't see something where there were no Black Lives Matter or Antifa supporters. We know there was at least one. I failed to believe that he was the only one. I utterly failed to believe it. It's a human failing I have. So as the Post admits this, there's a shift going on. And it started with the immediate evidence, completely blown out, severe overreaction to what occurred. 25,000 troops at least, and I'm not clear on what this commander says here. He's the National Guard commander. I can't tell if he's referring to 65,000 troops overall or if that's all in D.C.
Hi, good evening. I'm Dan Hogerson, the chief of the National Guard Bureau. And this evening, I'm visiting some of the 65,000 National Guard soldiers and airmen that are on duty today. Today, when our nation's capital and our soldiers and airmen are here, set up throughout the city to help protect our nation's capital.
In either case, it's a massive overreaction, unless, and the possibility exists, that they're aware of a threat about which we're unaware, and that they're choosing not to tell us because there are betters, and there's just things that we're too stupid to, you know, be given knowledge about. Or they don't want the enemy to know that they know. But now the enemy knows. They clearly know, if that's the case. But what I'm really observing, and why I'm worried about this, and why I want to inform you about these suppositions or what I see going on, is because we watched. We watched for over 3 years the pretense of Trump as Russian plant, which was blown apart. We have watched lies about cops perpetrated beginning in Barack Obama's White House, where Black Lives Matter Incorporated was born, based upon the lie of hands up, don't shoot. That didn't happen. There was no hands up, don't shoot. That person was trying to kill Officer Wilson with his own gun. We've watched the lie that white cops wake up in the morning and say, let's go kill some black kids, some black young men. We watched that lie succeed in convincing a generation of people that, in fact, it's so bad that the police are irrevocably white nationalists and therefore must be defunded and disbanded. But at the same time, we need National Guards people guarding D.C., but not Portland, where Antifa has insisted they intend to create violence tonight and in Seattle and in Denver and other cities. We've watched the overreaction based upon the core lie of Ferguson, hands up, don't shoot, metastasize into Black Lives Matter Incorporated being given $1.3 billion and free reign to burn down any American city they like at any time they choose. Overreaction, picking a side. If you're on the side of the Democrats, you are on the side of anti-racism. You're on the side of tolerance. They're so tolerant, they are snuffing out 40% of small businesses with overreacted COVID policies, which are not tied in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form to any form of scientific rigor. It's been proven again and again that they're counterproductive and overreactive in every capacity. Once you get the vaccine, both shots, remember, don't hug your kids, they say in the UK. Do not hug your kids even after you've been vaccinated. A clear, vibrant, ridiculous, stupid overreaction, and yet people are buying it. I see someone without a mask. Call the sheriff. Overreaction. They're using a technique, as I see it, of instilling massive fear in the population because they got a taste of blood. I can't imagine how thrilled the technocrats are, how easy it has been to panic half of society into, remember now, after you get both vaccines, continue to utterly isolate yourself from human beings. Remember, don't hug your grandkids, and for God's sake, pretend you have the virus. And now I see this. I see the buildup of another overreaction. A core truth. There's a virus. They call it SARS-CoV-2. It can lead to an illness called COVID-19. Is it particularly unique? No. There was an attack. You can call it that. A riot got out of hand, was allowed to get out of hand in Washington, D.C. And very sadly, some people's lives were taken. Trump supporters were apparently the bulk of this, though they were not alone. Those are core facts. Now we get into the overreaction. Juan Zarata.
That obviously is more than just what we saw on January 6th, more than just what we've seen already in state capitals. And is there something brewing beyond the 20th? It's one of the things I'm worried about when you look at the evolution of extremist movements over time.
Okay, so are we going to talk about the fact that the groups that wanted to kidnap the so-called governor of Michigan were Trump-hating anarchists? Remember how quickly that was buried? Are we going to talk about this other group, and I can't even remember their names because they don't care, who are anarchist Trump-haters, the boo-something boys? Are we going to talk about that? Or are we going to go down the same exact path? Black Lives Matter Incorporated are social justice warriors. They're as Chris Cuomo, an actor who plays a mask zealot on CNN, he said, not all punches are equal. Well, some punches are, this is a reaction to what's going on in society, and to compare the two makes you a Nazi. The same path. Totally ignoring one side of the equation while going through the steps of wiping out the other side. You have your small businesses versus the airlines. Restaurants do not spread the COVID. Airlines do, even with the masks. Small businesses are snuffed out through policy. Airlines had plenty of trouble because people didn't want to fly because they'd been scared. But they never really had to shut down. Black Lives Matter Incorporated and Antifa don't have to worry. They're not under any scrutiny. They're not extremist at all. Now, there are extremist groups that are white nationalist. I don't know what that has to do with being right-wing or conservative. To me, it's just another form of idiotic racism. They do exist. But the war is not being aimed at those small groups of people who don't have $1.3 billion. They're doing the expansion game. Just as all of a sudden healthy people are quarantined, they're beginning to expand the net. We have extremist groups. We have extremist language. We have people who have common ideas with extremist groups, like secure our borders. That makes them extremists. We have people who disagree with the party. They disagree with the party's goals to force you to say man is woman, to force you to say, yes, I'm a racist because I'm white. They disagree with the party's plan to separate parents from children in the government schools with these health centers and with their perverse pornographic sex ed and with their social justice teaching. They keep expanding the definition of who's extreme. They keep expanding the list of people who must be disappeared from the virtual public square. They keep expanding the ways they want to crack down on language. Now, CNN saying that they want to see OAN and Newsmax banned from Verizon and Comcast and the big cable companies. It's not censorship, mind you. It's just the free market that's going right along with the party. Mike Lindell's MyPillow has apparently been removed from Kohl's and Bed Bath & Beyond because the party has decreed him a bad think enthusiast. It's the same play over again. Quarantine the healthy, shut up the non-dangerous. Because the ideas are dangerous to the party. So if you think that's just my idea of crossing these things over, of comparing the purposeful, as I see it, overreaction to the COVID flu, the One Direction mistakes. Oh, the high PCR counts and PCR or high thresholds and PCR tests make a whole bunch of false positives. And we create the term cases and all of that, making it seem far, far worse. The militarization of DC making it seem far more dangerous unless they know something we don't know. The ever-expanding list of people who must be disappeared from polite society because they disagree with the party. If you think I'm the only one crossing those lines, you're wrong. This is one of the interchangeable leftist cogs within Der Kommissar Kamala's administration, with a strong assist from Joe Biden's dementia. This is one of their interchangeable scientists, or deputy science policy chief.
The COVID-19 crisis has inflicted extraordinary suffering, but it has also held up a mirror to our society, reflecting in its deadly wake resource gaps and medical disparities, the inequality we've allowed to calcify.
Got it? Number one, there's nothing extraordinary in the death rates of the COVID flu. What's extraordinary is how age stratified it is. It's age stratified in affecting older, sicker people. It can be very, very deadly for them. But frankly, not remarkably so. The way it's been made to seem extraordinary is changing the way deaths are counted and calculated and the way you determine if someone actually has the virus. It's all been blown out. In every instance, it's been made to appear worse. And I will make the case to anybody who wants to debate it with me. It's held up a mirror to racial inequality. And the way to solve that is to go back and what I see as basically reconstitute the American Civil War. One side this time against the daily murder of young black people by vicious white supremacist cops who wake up in the morning and say, let's go hunt some black people. A lie. Based upon this racist, systemically racist country where black and brown people have simply no chance because of that. The country that has raised more, if you like to use the phraseology, black and brown people out of poverty than any nation in history. They're crossing the lines. The way to solve this is at the installation of Joe Biden's dementia into the White House. They're setting up a safe space for Black Lives Matter. Because they're not safe in general public. They get a safe space right up front. almost certainly wearing their woke masks outside. That's the way to cure it. The way to cure it is to reconstitute racial division purposely. I fail to believe that anybody can imagine teaching in the public schools that if you are white, you are racist, will not instill racial division, will not, in fact, make angry a bunch of white people. It will drive less articulate, less smart white people into the hands of racist groups. Dr. Carol Swain, who wrote a book called The New White Supremacy, an African-American woman, found that to be the case when she wondered to herself, how does white supremacy survive? She found out it survives and thrives by actions like telling white people you're innately racist. The left is saying, you're on the side of murderous cops if you're not with us. You're on the side of people who say that folks who are confused about their gender should not exist. You're on the side of saying that black people shouldn't have a fair shake. You're on the side of saying, let a virus run wild and kill grandma and grandpa. And you're on the side that just hates science. Carrot and stick. There are people psychologically driven to say, oh, I can't be in the side that hates science. I love science, but they can't define it because they think science is a conclusion, not a process. I can't be in the side of racist cops. They don't have any idea the statistics that show that black officers draw their weapons and shoot black suspects more often than white officers. I can't do that because they can't think deeper than the level of a meme about politics. And those who can think deeper have selected media networks that simply mockingbird the left and the statists and the technocrats. And they do so unskeptically. That's why I call those particular networks the Mockingbird Media members. Endgame? Well, we know what it is. It's a revolution. It is to do away with the most racist document in history.
Look, I believe that the Constitution is a racist document. I believe that it was written at a time when the people were racist. It was written to support a white supremacist state. And it's structurally still that document.
That is Ellie Mistel, MSNBC, of course. They put a poison pill into the document. They put a poison pill into the document to destroy slavery. They put a poison pill into the document to destroy slavery as a method of getting the southern states to agree to the Union. That poison pill to destroy slavery was mathematically divined. It was blatantly cruel on its face. 3/5 of a person is an atrocity against humanity. It was a mathematically derived poison pill to make certain that over time slavery was gone because they did not want to have what they ended up having. They had fought a war. They had signed their death warrant when they signed the Declaration of Independence. They had seen this. They had fought the world's greatest autocracy, the world's most powerful military, to establish a country, and into the founding documents they included the poison pill that governmentally would do away with slavery. And when it didn't happen fast enough, they fought a war against the very ideas that the left is reinstalling. Racial division like this, racial hatred, was at one point dried up to the point of almost invisibility. It's been reconstituted. It's been reconstituted like a dehydrated food. or a dehydrated mold, or maybe better said, a cancer we had been over until the left stuck the cigarette of racial hatred back into our beaks and mouths. We will not become the hatred. We will have our small communities where we gather personally with people so we can speak freely. We will speak the truth ever more loudly. We will do these things and become less dependent on the culture. And we'll do this because we're not the first generation to face things like this. There's roadmaps in history. There's roadmaps in the Bible. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show with text messages, 800-465-8770.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
And give yourself a nickname if you're using the text line. On email, you can use your own name. Crabwalker. Todd, I learned from America's frontline doctors. They're the doctors who have been viciously disappeared by platform after platform for sharing their experience with hydroxychloroquine and other antivirals to help people not get the not get an advanced version of COVID-19, and henceforth save their lives. And so for the sin of admitting that there are therapeutics and cures for this, they're chased all around the web and have to continue moving their platform. And you've heard them on our show. Crabwalker, Todd, I learned from America's frontline doctors that once you get this experimental vaccine, you will continually test positive for COVID-19. This means the way and structure that has been set up in a lot of blue states means you'll never be able to get out of phase one. It's a vicious cycle and will spiral on and on until the 18th inning. I wish I could tell you that that's just not true, except for there is truth to this. There's 1,400 people in Israel who tested positive right after getting their second shot of the experimental vaccines. There are 74,000 nurses in the Netherlands who have refused to take the experimental vaccine. 74,000 in the Netherlands, which is a relatively small country. That's a lot of people. And they're refusing to take it because it is experimental. That's why they're saying we're not going to be experimented on. Friday on the show, I'm going to play for you the words of a PhD who did a peer-reviewed study about these vaccines and what they do to the body and the alternatives. His alternative are steroidal treatments. But you see that the technocrats want only some ideas discussed, only some medical approaches taken. They're turning to an authoritarian government to say, we'll help you push your ideas. You'll help us push our drugs. It's the China model. From Joe Biden, who is deeply compromised to China, as I see it. Average Joe is 1,400 people probably tested positive the vaccine after a few additional cycle tests. Yes, exactly. Average Joe's aware of this on the text line. Swervin, if you think the mask mandates and lockdowns are ever going to end, just think about the last time that a temporary tax was removed after it had run its course. I'm thinking you can probably count those on one hand, right? Control is a tough thing to relinquish. Well, in Washington State, the Democrats have decided to give Jay Inslee emergency powers all the way into June, and they've taken all of his diktats and they're rolling them up into a law. One law. They will now be law. They will therefore be enforceable as law. They will therefore carry criminal penalties if they choose. They can therefore be enforced by cops if they choose. So they're cementing them. I think it's quite possible that they say, well, we need to keep the emergency powers in place because this virus is still lurking. After all, as they say in the UK, even after you get vaccinated, don't hug your kids. I think it's quite possible that they do that. So we will speak the truth louder. We will meet more often with our small communities every day. We remind ourselves more often that God is ultimately in charge. You can't fool him. He knows what's coming. And if you're not religious, then you have your own structure to deal with this. So one of the challenges for me in being non-religious is there is no greater power than the state. Well, I reject that entirely. I think there's a much greater power than the state. Casey in Auburn says he's tuning out of the show for the day to listen to music. Wow, it hurts my feelings, Casey. And I get it. Today is a really horrible day in the history of the United States with the militarized installation of Joe Biden's dementia and the Commissar Kamala. Speaking of that, Mr. Sarah and Yelm, listening to The Commissars in Town by Falco seems appropriate for the day. Funny you mention that. We played that yesterday when we started to talk about the COVID flu. Now, when we started to talk about Kamala Harris. Yes, we played Der Kommissar. Bird Wade 2, Todd, when the Democrats promote unity and bringing us together promises, and whether it be by the way of Joe Biden or Chuck Schumer, not only do they believe in this doctrine, they know they can make it happen. Communism unifies by forcing the one-party rule on citizen. You can join or not, but it's all the same. It becomes a culture of unification for the country, like it or not. That's exactly the dynamic they're setting up, Birdway. You're either on the side of the racist white cops who wake up every morning excited to go kill black youth. You're either on the side of people who deny the very existence of the discipline of science. There's no such thing as science or scientists. Or you're on the side of the party, which, by the way, has the military. How do you know? Because they've militarized the nation's capital. It's very evident what's going on, an acceleration of this. Alex writes a sad note from about his family. Hey, Todd, I'm not what you would consider overweight, but since the COVID flu hit, I've seen myself gaining significant poundage and pudge. My family's always called me the chunk, the tubby kid from that movie, The Goonies, but now that nickname is hitting a little too close to home. Another thing, I like running but have terrible eating habits. I know it can make a change, but I don't know exactly where to start. Well, let's start with this. Resistance training is better for losing weight than running. Let's just start with that. Because you build lean muscle and it actually then reduces the amount of calories that make it into fat in your body. So I suggest you become a gym rat and start doing safe lifting of weight. If you need help, I'm now an online certified level one CrossFit instructor. I can give you some advice. I do say this, and they're a sponsor, okay? They're a sponsor. Get in touch with 3010 Weight Loss for Life at 3010weightlossforlife.com. And I'll tell you the difference, Alex, is they change the way your body treats food. So that pudge, as you call it, and don't be cruel to yourself, that pudge, as you call it, your body will feed on that. In the right way, when you use the 3010 Weight Loss for Life formula that they'll describe for you, they'll design for you, they'll make specifically for you, even if you eschew my device of lifting weights, which you shouldn't, 3010 is not about exercise. It's about when you eat and what you eat. They'll give you a plan that you will end up losing weight while you sleep, even if you just stick with your running, even if you stop your running, which might, in fact, be better for you at this point. I'm just saying. You can also call them, 855-YES-3010. That's 855-YES-3010. We'll come up and wrap up the day with a personal note next on The Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street. Down on Main Street.
On a personal note today, as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are being installed into the White House, there's been a dynamic over the past 4 years, accelerated in the past year, to not believe your own eyes or your own critical thinking. Masks work, then why are we locked down? COVID is safe. Yes, you're safe from it in a Planned Parenthood abortionist's center, but it will kill you dead at the Chuck E. Cheese. We've been asked to jettison our critical thinking. Never more so than in the area of race. I have had, and I will have again on the program, friends who are black who have shared with us heartbreaking stories. There is a challenge some people feel in relation to race. It does exist. And like everything else, the left is doing everything they possibly can to blow it out of proportion, to gain power over us. A scared people are controllable people, and angry people scare others and make them easier to control. It is a disgusting, terrible dynamic of, in my judgment, great, great evil. And I believe it's inspired as evil. And I believe that it is coming from the ultimate evil. These are my beliefs. They don't need to be yours. Years ago, I was in a really scary circumstance that it was wiggy. We were trying to land an airplane in Seattle in a freak storm. And when I say freak, I mean it's one of the storms in the Pacific Northwest where the wind is blowing sideways and circular, and it's snow, but it's ice, and it's snow, ice, and it's hail. And at this point in this airplane trying to land at SeaTac Airport, we were sort of out of options. What the pilot had said is we could make a turn and we could try Boeing, but we'd circled for a long time. The pilot made one attempt to land the airplane at SeaTac, and I've made countless flights. And so I knew when things were crazy. And when things were crazy was when, for the second time ever, when flying in an airplane, we were told that it's going to be a very rough landing. We may be asked to take the emergency positions. They may be asked for that. They reminded us about the oxygen masks. They reminded us about these things. Reminded us that pilot's going to do what he can to land. He came on. After the first aborted attempt where we came over SeaTac, and the tail of the airplane was fishtailing back and forth, and the airplane was rocking up and down, which, as I understand it, are two poisonous combinations because you have multiple force winds blowing you in each and every direction. It becomes very difficult to counter. He went back up, and he said at that time, hey, folks, we're going to try that again. I'll just remind you that in a circumstance like this, we want the airplane on the ground as quickly as possible, so it will feel like a hard drop, and it's really just us getting out of this wind. So we'll give that another shot when we come around. It was reassuring, and they're paid to reassure. And in fact, I don't know if you know this about pilots, they are taught to practice that reassuring voice. Folks, from the cockpit, we're going to circle back around and try that one again. It is a little windy here at the SeaTac International Airport. We'll come back around. I'll just remind you, folks, it might feel like a bit of a drop. We land safely on the runway, and that's just us getting out of the way. And the flight attendants may ask you folks to take a bit of a precautionary position and an emergency position. And we'll just leave we'll leave that up to us up here. Let them know if it's going to be a case. We'll get you on the ground as safely as we can real quick. And they're trained to have that reassuring voice. The second time he came through and aborted the landing, he didn't say anything. But I saw the flight attendants. And behind me, there was a little boy who was crying. And there was a mother who was trying to comfort the little boy. So I said a gentle little lie. I turned to the little boy and said, "Are you afraid we're going to crash?" And he nodded. I said, "Oh, I've been in a bunch of airplane crashes. This isn't how they happen." He said, "Really?" I said, "No." And then I turned over to my seatmate, and we came back through and going back for this landing, the third try. We talked a little bit on the airplane. It's a young woman getting her start in business. And this time, as we came around and the fishtailing of the airplane started again, and the pilot gunned the engines, just absolutely wanted airspeed, she reached for my hand. And so this woman I didn't know held my hand, and I held hers. And she leaned into me, and she was very, very afraid. And she was looking out the window. And I told her, God's in charge. She was a black woman. I was a white man. Still am. She still is. And it didn't matter, because we were in it together. Believe your heart. Believe your eyes. Believe that God is in charge. The Great Rush Limbaugh Program is next. This is the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. PST. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.